Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
The biggest convention of its kind ever in the UK, Wrestling MediaCon 2018, is heading to Manchester on the 8th and 9th of September. Wrestling MediaCon 2018 will feature live wrestling shows from Revolution Pro and Impact Wrestling, meet and greet with all the talent, panel discussions from the likes of Inside the Ropes, and workshops on how to get into the world of professional wrestling from former WWE writers and bookers. There will also be guest matches from Defiant, NGW, and an NWA World Title defense by Nick Aldis, taped for £10 of gold. Other names announced for Wrestling MediaCon 2018 include The Wrestling Observer's Dave Meltzer, Colt Cabana, Sean Waltman, Cultaholic, Botchamania, myself and Ollie from The Wrestle Ramble, and many more to be announced. Wrestling MediaCon comes to the Bowlers Exhibition Centre in Manchester, England on the 8th and 9th of September. Tickets are available now from WrestlingMediaCon.com.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Making their way to the ring at a combined weight of undeniably sexy, hailing from London, the Wrestle Ramble Podcast!
Hello and welcome to the Wrestle Ramble Podcast. I am Ollie Davis and I'm joined across the room, because we are not sitting next to each other right now. Luke has gone and got a comfy seat. He's not on the steel chairs, the cool, cold steel chairs, the unforgiving steel of the chairs. He's on a comfy little grey cushioned number, like a wimp, like a namby-pamby man. How you doing, Luke?
I was waiting for you to actually introduce, because you said I'm joined by, and then went on a long diatribe about where I was currently sat, as opposed to actually saying who I am. But hello, Swap Nation, and a hello to you, Oliver Davis. How the devil are you?
I'm good. It's that time of the year, Luke, when the flesh happens.
When the flesh happens?
This is, it's probably the warmest day of the year so far.
I was in shorts yesterday, but yep. Today, so happy to be in shorts.
Yep, it's sunny outside. I just walked to the shops to get something for my lunch break. And yeah, it's that time of the year when a lot of people are just like, I'm not going to wear many clothes now. Mm-hmm. And it just happens. Like, over the weekend, it was raining and everyone was all drab and covered up. But boom, this morning, everyone's got their bits out.
Oh,
and
my.
Some of those bits are very welcome. Other bits, not so much.
In what ways?
Just tops of butt cracks.
Ooh.
It was an eventful trip up the road, is what I'm saying. There was a lot of flesh.
Mm-hmm.
Where me, if that was me, I probably wouldn't have revealed that amount of flesh.
No, you'd have covered that up.
But then some people I saw and say, hey, if I looked like you, I would actually probably still not that much flesh, but I'm happy that you have the confidence to do it.
Man, look at Oliver Davis body shaming in 2018.
Am I body shaming?
A little
or
bit.
Am I just?
You practically just said, "Oh, if you don't look quite right, better cover yourself up."
I'm not saying that. I just don't think there was much conscientiousness that's gone into it. I don't feel like it's a out and proud thing to wear ill fitting trousers. I mean, these are too small clothes for this person. And it was just, yeah.
Hey, man, just wear what you're comfy with. It's just a body.
I don't know how they can be comfy. It's way too tight. There's spillage over the top.
It's just a body, man.
It, Yes. Well, it's just like, I wouldn't walk outside like that. That's all I'm saying.
Well, that's fair enough.
You made me feel bad by chucking in the body shaming label.
You should feel bad.
You're shaming me for but I've turned into Alexa Bliss. You're a bully.
Yeah, I'm the bully, really, because I'm bullying you.
Yeah, just let me be the sort of... Just if you don't like me, leave me for who I am. I hate people who say that.
I know. You and I have had that before. Yeah. It's like, if you know you're a problem, just don't be a problem.
Hey, that's just the way I am. Well, the way you are is a dick. Nobody likes you. There's a reason I'm the only person here right now.
Anyway.
Chris.
Not to name names.
Nah, I'm just kidding.
No.
Chris is great. awkward shift of gears.
Uh-huh, yep.
Bruno Sammartino is just good. Oh, no, we had to bring it up, and I just realised how inappropriate.
I was
going to
say,
I was
just thinking, like, how really we should open this episode, and thought, man, we just seen that they've just released a trailer for GLOW Season 2, which premieres on June 29th, and then we also had the untimely news that Bruno Sammartino, wrestling legend Bruno Sammartino, has passed away. But you decided to open it up with talking about butt cracks.
It was just what was on my mind.
Mm.
It was, yeah. But yes, sadly, Bruno Sammartino has passed away, aged 82. We didn't know this when we recorded Wrestle Ramble, so that the rest of this episode is going to have no mention of him. But yeah.
Mm. Very sad news, very sad news. But I'm glad that he was able to get the recognition that he deserves by WWE, and he was able to see that. It wasn't something they just did. Is it posthumous?
Yes.
Posthumous, yeah. I always struggle to say that, the second part of that. But, like, done after death in the way that some others have. I was actually listening to, I think it was a Something to Wrestle episode. It was Something to Wrestle. They're doing the WrestleMania 4 episode that they did quite recently. And Conrad asked Bruce Pritchard why either the British Bulldog or the British Bulldogs. It was Dynamite Kid. Thank you very much. Why neither British Bulldog nor the Dynamite Kid were in? And Pritchard said, or even in as a tag team as the Bulldogs. And he said that they would probably wait until Dynamite Kid has passed away before inducting them.
Yeah.
And I thought, that's a really... It's a really crap way of looking at it. I'm just like, yeah, we should really honor these people, but one of them is in a wheelchair, and that's a lot of hassle. So let's just, one of them's already passed away. We may as well wait till the other one's gone and then induct them.
Mm. And Dynamite Kid's quite horrible.
Well, there is that as well.
Yeah. Well, it's a totally fictitious Hall of Fame. I obviously thoughts with Bruno Sammartino's family and all that, but, being so into the wrestling news world, my third, oh no, Bruno Sammartino is dead. Oh no, feel for his family. A few thoughts down after that was, Dave Meltzer would have just finished writing the Wrestling Observer newsletter.
Yeah.
And now he's going to have to, you think of big obituaries. This is going to be a bitch of obituary to write.
And Dave Meltzer has been planning this obituary for quite some time, because if there is one person that absolutely friggin' loves Bruno Sammartino, it's Dave Meltzer. Like, him and Bruno are very good friends. They've got a very good relationship, and he'll be devastated. And he'll write up quite... I reckon actually the newsletter will be late this week. I reckon it'll be out on Friday.
You're right, because of this, yeah.
Because of this, I think he'll delay it so he can
write
up
the obituary. It's big enough news. I mean, like, one of the biggest stars of all time, before my time. So I just know about him really through rewatching the odd thing.
Yeah.
And just the immense, like, presence he has over WWE.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. He was a man who was... He was a Vince McMahon senior boy. He was, like, his guy. He was champion for, hundreds of years, however long he was champion for. But him and Vince Jr., the current Vince McMahon that we know, they never really had the greatest of relationships. I think Vince, the current McMahon, always saw him as, like, his dad's era of wrestling, and, like, Hogan was more his guy. And then he really fell out of favor with the WWF in the 90s when they started doing Attitude Era stuff, and he just thought it was, not the way that wrestling should be. And, he had some very He had quite a lot of thoughts to say about the wrestling landscape that it had become in the late 90s and early 2000s. And it wasn't until Triple H reached out to him in, was it
2013, I just saw he went into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, and it was like 2012, 2013 that Triple H reached out to him to be like, hey, you know, the business has changed. You know, we have also changed as a company. We're now doing this, that, and the other. And it was all through Triple H and Triple H's kind of campaigning and talking with Bruno that he managed to convince him to go into the WWE Hall of Fame and be allowed back into the company somewhat. Because up until then, they just blacklisted him and just like erased him from history. He wasn't really a thing. But now that they are sort of like back on good graces, they'll... Yeah, you know, now they will talk about him. They'll talk about the great stuff that he's done. He went to the Hall of Fame. So there'll be a very nice video package for him on Raw. In fact, actually, I wonder if they already worked on one to put onto NXT tonight.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we'll see. But for now, let's get on with the show. It's all wrapped up now. The superstars are shaken and we can see where they fell. And the spread of the land of the main roster, I think we can quite comfortably agree, SmackDown kicked Raw's ass. What was Kurt Angle thinking?
Kurt Angle made some terrible choices, really. It's like, I mean, yeah, I know you want Samoa Joe, but I want Mojo Rawley and Zack Ryder. That's the only way this seems fair.
Yeah, there was a... There's just... I mean, Bobby Roode, okay. Who else went to Raw?
Zack Ryder, Mojo Rawley, the Ascension.
You're doing the lower ones, decent ones. There was Bobby Roode, Jinder Mahal.
Yep.
Should have written these down. This is not very
professional. Are you trying to say that we should have been prepared?
We did write the SmackDown ones down, though. So, okay, this is a lot better. The first one was Jeff Hardy.
With his United States Championship.
Yes.
You, lucky there, Paige.
Yeah, so he came along. And he's immediately... The mid-card scene is... quite well developed. It's like, I've written in my notes, it's 2008. Randy Orton, Jeff Hardy and Shelton Benjamin.
I know, right?
That's a bit of a flashback. Then The Miz had his promo. We already knew he was moving over, but Miz is a credible screen presence. Like, he doesn't really move the needle in terms of ratings or make anyone want to buy a match that he's in or at, like, mm-hmm. a pay-per-view. But, like, he's definitely a star.
Yep.
In an A-list
And again,
sense.
And you talk about bolstering up that mid-card.
Yeah.
With The Miz in there, Jeff and Randy and, and you know, even some of the other people that haven't had a chance to be on TV. Ty Dillinger, you know, maybe you slot him into that role.
It's not happening. Yeah, The Miz just got a promo, though. That's what I liked about this SmackDown. Compared to Raw, and I guess it's because Raw did have SmackDown in mind, like, oh, we can't do too much because it might reveal who's not moving where. But SmackDown didn't have that problem. They could just press ahead with storyline stuff like they did the previous week after WrestleMania, which Raw didn't. So SmackDown managed to incorporate the superstar shakeup into storylines, whereas Raw just felt like it was thrown together with new people and didn't really further anything.
Yeah, it was 2 weeks of house shows, basically. And like what I really liked about SmackDown, particularly this week and last week, as you said there, they have like SmackDown opened this week with stories. Like it wasn't the opening video package wasn't like, whoa, superstar shakeup, who's coming to SmackDown? It was like, no, the important thing here is that AJ Styles and Shinsuke Nakamura are feuding over the WWE Championship. That's your main thing.
It's Shinsuke Nakamura and AJ Styles' testicles. Yeah. They are that's the money feud.
Yeah, absolutely. Right there. Yeah. So like, and that was the video package. And then AJ came out and he didn't cut a promo about the superstar shakeup. He cut a promo on Shinsuke Nakamura, and he was interrupted by Rusev. And then Daniel Bryan came out. It was all focused on SmackDown and building storylines and kind of creating these divisions, creating these little feuds and this, that, and the other. And I was like, wow. At one point, I actually forgot there was a superstar shake. It wasn't until Jeff came out and I was like, oh, yeah. We've got a superstar shake-up on
like
our hands.
Three segments in, we got our first reveal.
Yeah.
But so most of the stuff, and I understand this might be because after Raw, whereas all the SmackDown roster were backstage at Raw because... you know, they do the WWE tend to do these things as a shoot mm-hmm. or possibly last minute, whereas, nah, I want you on Raw. So it's good that you're there. Whereas the Raw stars, after that, the Raw roster, had to leave for South Africa for mm-hmm. some dates down there. So some of the people here, like the Bar, are one of them, aren't they? Yeah, they're definitely on the South African tour.
Yeah, they actually took a photo of them on the plane heading to South Africa with Finn Balor and Sasha Banks, which is why everyone was like, oh, so none, you four aren't going to the SmackDown then.
But
we got a promo from them instead.
And Absolution, so Mandy Rose and Sonya Deville, they just got a graphic. Mm-hmm. I hope that's how they continue. In graphics, so coming soon.
Like Emelina.
Yeah, that worked well. Then probably the biggest one, and most surprising, considering he's set up a feud with Roman Reigns on Raw, and they're going to have a match in 3 weeks' time or 2 weeks' time at Backlash, mm-hmm. Samoa Joe.
Yeah, and isn't it really funny how we were just saying then Raw has felt like house shows, but they have built one storyline, which is Samoa Joe versus Roman Reigns. And then one half of that has gone to the other brand.
But yeah, they've built the one storyline they've built.
Yeah.
Isn't a long-term thing.
I was genuinely surprised that it was Joe. Like, I was watching, I was waiting, and I was like, okay, who's it going to be? Who's it going to be? And then it was Joe, and I was like, huh, genuinely didn't see that coming.
Yeah,
it throws up a lot of possibilities and questions now, and it kind of like adds a bit of intrigue perhaps going into Greatest Royal Rumble, which I'm almost certain is non-canon. At times it's non-canon anyways.
There's too many title matches. And I think one's got a turn.
And then for Backlash as well, because Joe's got an IC Championship match at Greatest Royal Rumble.
When was that announced?
I don't think it has been announced yet.
I was very confused.
I was very confused because I thought he'd slipped up.
Same.
I thought he said the wrong thing because I was like, has Joe got a championship match at Greatest Royal Rumble? And I thought it was a cock up until Todd Phillips repeated it. And I was like, oh, well, if they're repeating it, then it must be the case. But so he's got an IC championship.
Just run with it, guys. Yeah, run with it. Yeah. He's got a match now. So he's booked himself. More people should do that. Just say they've got championship matches
on air.
Well,
got a title match now.
Yeah.
So he's got an IC championship match at Greatest Royal Rumble, which also features Reigns and Lesnar for the Universal Championship. And if Roman wins the Universal Championship, then his match with Samoa Joe is for the Universal Championship at Backlash. So he could theoretically come over to SmackDown with both the IC championship and the Universal Championship. And they've already got the US Championship and the WWE Championship. Raw, in a couple of weeks, could only have the tag belts and the women's belt.
Usually I would say, well, that's poppycock. That's not going to happen. But then WrestleMania is in my head.
Yep.
And this draft about how thin Raw feels right now.
Yeah.
That's a three-hour show.
Well, they have just taken they've taken the entirety of SmackDown's mid-card. And everyone was yesterday was like, man, they've just really gutted out SmackDown. But I'm looking at it now being like, yeah, but SmackDown is such a much thinner and much nicer show now. I can name you pretty much every single person who's on the card. Whereas if I looked at Raw, I'd be like, there's this, I think this person's there, that person might be doing something, but then they probably won't be on the show at all.
Well, that's it. I think SmackDown lost a lot of quantity, but they have gained quality
oh,
in
absolutely.
Spades.
Oh, absolutely.
So Samoa Joe is definitely the highest profile of the trades. But the biggest you can't even say that because
no.
Andrade. So Sanity are also being called up. About time, I think. Yeah,
it's funny. We had so many people say in the comments. I had so many people say it to me on Twitter. I didn't see it happening. So, I mean, kudos to everyone else, but I personally didn't see it happening. And then they announced it. I was like, wow, they're actually doing it.
Yeah.
But then my excitement of that was taken down a couple of pegs later on when it was just announced that it was Eric Young, Wolf, and Killian Dane, and not Nikki Cross.
Which is a shame.
Yeah.
So
kind of have too many women on the main roster, let's be honest.
That was Sanity had a video package, and then they got a graphic later on. A really cool video package.
Yeah.
We'll get into it when we do the full review.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the women's segment, Asuka ran down for the save. So although she's kind of been on SmackDown by the nature of how she challenged with her Royal Rumble shot, that's now official. Then The Bar, as we've already said, Sheamus and Cesaro. Pretty big deal there as well.
Yeah,
kind of reveals they're losing to Woke and Matt and Bray.
Well, are they though?
What, so the Raw tag team titles would go over to SmackDown?
Could be. I mean, we're getting the best of both worlds every month now, so
best of both worlds.
We want it all. So it could, you know, maybe they'll just defend them against Woken and Bray at the next WWE pay-per-view, which I think is Extreme Rules.
It's Backlash again, isn't it?
It's Backlash again.
More Backlash than ever.
Yeah, because now it's like every pay-per-view is the one night of the year when Raw and SmackDown superstars go head-to-head in direct competition.
Well, they don't go head-to-head in direct competition. It just has, you've got Raw matches and you've got SmackDown matches.
Well, no, what I'm
matches.
Saying, but if the Bar win at Greatest Royal Rumble and then defend against the Woken Hardy, then they will go head-to-head in direct competition at Second Backlash.
Didn't think of that. Mm. And then the Good Brothers, Luke Gallows and Carl Anderson, just had a video package rather than a promo or anything. They're coming across.
Yep.
I think of all the names, that is going to be the most beneficial to them. Like, because everyone else, like, they're exciting, but there's no real, like, revamp opportunities there. The Good Brothers need, like, they've just been, their Raw run, they're like, what, like 3-4-time tag team champions?
Are they really? I thought they knew what it was.
I don't even care. And that's the problem. But now they're over on SmackDown. No Finn, but technically, like, that was only like a month or two thing.
Yeah.
They had a very fun thing going with AJ Styles.
Oh, that's true.
Back in the day with the club.
Exactly.
So I'm actually more excited to see that iteration of the Bullet Club reform.
And this video package was 100% serious. It was just like, look how devastating these are as a team. They're former tag team champions. They're badasses. They've been all over the globe. They've won champions all over the world. It wasn't them dressed up as doctors or whatever that garbage was that they were doing with the New Day and all that sort of stuff. So I'm thinking this is a bit of a character revamp for them. It's not going to be about Nerdometer and that sort of stuff. It's going to be about serious Carl Anderson and Luke Gallows again, which I'm all for, man. That sounds great to me. And man, what a cracking little tag team division you've got there, where you've got The Bar and you've got Gallanderson, you've got the Bludgeon Brothers, the Usos, New Day. Like, just those five teams there, like, I'm happy with that, man. But there's probably another team as well that I'm forgetting.
Sanity,
absolutely.
Well, you see, I would split up The Bar in the next 6 months.
Oh, I know you're so desperate to do this.
They're a great act together, but they're so much better apart.
Well, I know, but like, you're so desperate for them to split. Yeah. And I don't think they're going
in a ladder match. maybe they could have a best of seven series with someone.
Oh, hopefully.
R-Truth, who, you know what? I enjoy his comedy. I think he's a good comedic performer. He always gets the crowd going by asking them repeatedly, what is up?
I mean, I did laugh because it was like the New Day are walking backstage and they're like, oh my God, look who it is. It's the Immortal. And then it pans over and it's R-Truth. And I literally go like, I mean, you did literally troll me there. And I bought that hook, line and sinker. So well done you. And then I was like, no, it's R-Truth. But then I did chuckle when he was like, it's so great to be here on Monday Night Raw. And they're like, no, it's Tuesday. It's the other show. And he's like, cool, guys. I'll see you tomorrow.
Yeah, so maybe he's not on SmackDown. Maybe that was... Maybe R-Truth could just... He could, like, because Heath Slater wasn't drafted last year, was he?
No.
That was the funny
thing.
The year
before.
Was it the year before?
Yeah, it's been 2 years since
then. Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, of course. Good grief. I'm just trying to forget superstar shakeups or a thing, and it's just the last draft in my head. So maybe R-Truth could flick between the two brands because he's confused and he's wacky.
Chop on NXT.
You should draft Little Nicky to the other one.
Mm.
Is that the name of the character?
Oh, he's no, Little Jimmy.
Little Jimmy.
Yeah.
Little Nicky is an Adam Sandler movie.
It is, yeah. I thought you were making a reference to Nicholas.
No, and then we got Andrade, Cien Almas, with Zelina Vega.
Because she's a hot woman, so she's allowed to be a manager.
For now. Like, we don't know. They broke Rusev and Lana up.
Mm.
Who knows? Hopefully they stay together because she's a very important part of his act.
As we've said many times before, like, he was treading water before they paired up together, and she her as an act now, they've just completely revamped themselves, and like, he's awesome.
It's like, it's revamped from a performance thing, but in storyline, just like the backstory wise, he was partying, he wasn't really focusing. It's Zelina, as because she's not a manager, she's a business manager, right?
Oh, maybe that's why they'll get away with it on
like
this.
It's Paul Heyman is an advocate.
Yeah, so she's a business associate. Maybe that's how they'll get around it.
So hopefully that's that. And like, you just, the matches Andrade can have. And Zelina can wrestle as well.
Mm-hmm.
What's her, Thea Trinidad?
Yeah.
Is that her name? So like, I mean, I do want to see her wrestle, but I kind of like her in this role more at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, but there's potential there. But Andrade, like with Brian, Andrade, I think he's going to go in the US title picture.
100%, yeah, absolutely.
So with Jeff Hardy, you know.
And Randy Orton. And now it's the other thing as well, what I loved about, I mean, we'll go obviously into these in more detail when we do the recap, but Samoa Joe, when he got his promo afterwards, and he was like, I want to ruin Daniel Bryan's dreams, I want to have a match, I'm going to defang the Viper, and I'm going to demasculate AJ Styles. And all of a sudden I'm like, oh, yes, more of this, please. Basically, SmackDown has become 2007 TNA. because you've got AJ Styles, yeah. Samoa Joe, Eric Young. I'm like, hey, it's all the people I really liked in 2007. Jeff Hardy. I'm like, hey, it's 2007 TNA all over again.
Eric, you said Eric Young.
Yeah.
Oh, good, good. Yeah, because I just thought, oh, he hasn't said Eric Young. He did. And if Kurt Angle hops over.
Yeah. Oh, brilliant. Lovely stuff.
So when we were trying to make a list of all these trades, we haven't read, there might be some online ones which we
haven't checked
because we're so happy with these ones, but we wrote those all down, and I feel like we're missing someone, and you go, nah, I think that's it.
Pretty much that's all of them. So,
and I get to the end of my notes, Big Cass,
yeah,
like
Big Cass.
The biggest, well, not the biggest, but like that was what the show ended on.
Mm.
It was his entrance music that this episode of SmackDown closed.
Oh, he's straight into that main event scene.
Yeah, because, he is, isn't he?
Because he's 7 foot tall, and you can't teach that. You can't teach it, man. He's tall.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
he's big. Cass.
I like Big Cass. Is it? He's called Big Cass, right? He's not called Colin Cass.
No, no, he is Big Cass. They showed a graphic for him later
right.
on.
Right.
With Big Cass again.
So that's good. Loved his act with that other guy,
mm-hmm.
whoever he was. They were really good together. And I liked the heel run. I thought he would work the crowd really well. But it was like, oh, you only ever feuded with Enzo Amore, which had like the crowd was super invested in. Are they invested in you, Big Cass, as a heel?
Oh, he also feuded with The Big Show.
Yeah.
Do you remember that classic shark cage match they had at SummerSlam last year?
But I mean, I know you're being droll, but for everyone else, it was still feuding with Enzo via the proxy of Big Show. And so it's like, are you in? Is the crowd into Big Cass as a heel, or were they into that feud and the Enzo betrayal? And I was looking at Big Cass and I thought, I don't really want to see you as a heel, and I definitely don't want you to see you as a top heel. And then I was like, oh, this might be this year's Jinder, because I remember last year that I was so happy about the SmackDown roster. I was like, here we go. It was a rough couple of months with the whole Bray Wyatt thing, but before then, SmackDown was the A show.
Yep.
It was so much fun to watch with AJ Styles, Dean Ambrose, the Viper
Ellsworth.
In the family storyline, the Ellsworth stuff, which I personally adored.
I loved it.
And then they had a pretty good hand in the draft, in the Superstar Shakeup. And I was like, okay, we're going to reset this now. And then it was like 8 months of Jinder at the top and the Kevin Owens, AJ Styles feud. Nothing was clicking.
Right.
Apart from the tag division.
Can I try to alleviate some of your worries?
Cynicism, yes.
Your cynicism. It could have been Baron Corbin.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's just going to be Baron Corbin on Raw.
Well, yeah, I know, Bob. I don't have to review Raw, so yeah. I suppose that's fine.
I do like Big Cass as a performer. I mean, but he's really got no track record as a top heel performer. And, he's limited in what he can do in the ring. He's going to have fantastic opposition, but he'd be a great mid-card act.
Well, okay, yeah, so here's the thing. I'm like, I'm excited for the possibilities of Jeff Hardy feuding with the people that are on SmackDown, like Daniel Bryan and AJ Styles. And I'm excited by all that. I'm excited by Randy Orton feuding with these people that are coming in. I'm excited by Samoa Joe feuding with Daniel Bryan and AJ Styles. I'm excited by Andrade feuding with all these people. I'm not excited about Big Cass feuding with them. So, like, and I think that's why I like Big Cass as well. And I'm excited to see what he can do, but it doesn't make me look forward to any of the feuds he's going to have on SmackDown Live.
It's all of the roster now. Not all of the roster, but everyone we just mentioned, R-Truth aside, any combination of those guys is exciting in some way.
Yeah,
like very exciting as well, not just slightly. Apart from the ones that include Big Cass. And it's not just like, if he was just drafted to SmackDown, fine, that's fine. But he's like a top heel in the positioning, and I know this would really gut Raw, but man, why the hell haven't you put Drew McIntyre in this position?
Oh, absolutely, bloody exactly. I'd have loved Drew in this role.
Better wrestler, better talker,
and he's also
better look.
He's 8 foot tall. You can't.
Yeah,
teach
he was
that.
Carved out of a tree.
Centuries
ago.
I'd have much rather that. But so here's the other question, I suppose, for this is actually I've got two questions for you. Is this Big Cass going into the main event, or is it taking Daniel Bryan out of the main event into the mid-card? Because he's also feuding with The Miz, who is not a main event heel on the company. He's very much going to be positioned in that mid-card thing. And is it WWE's way of saying, like, right, you've had your Daniel Bryan WrestleMania return now. Now let's take it down a couple of pegs and move him back into the mid-card where he really belongs.
I This could be played back to me in several weeks.
Interesting.
And Ollie's stupid. But I am optimistic here. I feel like WWE, Daniel Bryan has moved from thorn in their side to the part-time performer status. Because he left and came back, kind of.
Yeah.
He's a special attraction now.
Well, I mean,
and
I feel like that might be
a switch in Vince's head when he's gone from this bearded guy to box office.
Yeah, well, I hope you're absolutely right, because I really hope that Daniel Bryan is in that main event picture with Joe and with AJ and, you know, and all these other guys. That's what I'm really hoping for. The other question, and this is actually something that's been posted to me on Twitter a couple of times by people today, who actually, I've seen a lot of people really down on SmackDown today, because I think they were expecting more people to show up, maybe more NXT call-ups or what have you. Because,
what do you want?
Well, bearing in mind that Raw got 21 people. And
but
like,
none of them were brilliant.
Well, no, I know, but it's sometimes people want quantity over quality. But the other reason that people were down on SmackDown is that they said, like, well, there's only three babyfaces on SmackDown now. Because you've got AJ, Bryan, Jeff Hardy, and Randy Orton. And everyone else is a heel. Is it becoming a brand that is too heel stacked?
We'll have to see. I mean, they could just do a Natalya. When the bar turn up, they could be baby faces. You saw the way they dance in that Best of Both Worlds video.
We won it all.
Oh.
The Wrestle Ramble will be right back after these short messages. This episode of Wrestle Ramble is brought to you in part by Patreon. For just $5 a month, you can get access to our Patreon-exclusive podcast, Wrestle Ramble Extra, where Ollie and I review classic pay-per-views from wrestling's past. Previous episodes include Money in the Bank 2011, Armageddon 2000, Wrestle Kingdom 10, WrestleMania 25, and more. The next episode continues the WrestleMania theme with arguably the best Mania ever, WrestleMania X7. Featuring the epic main event of The Rock vs. Stone Cold Steve Austin for the WWF Championship. It also has the Triple H vs. Undertaker match you're supposed to forget happened, and the Gimmick Battle Royal! Your backing will get you access to all previous episodes too. Head on over to patreon.com/WrestleTalk for more information. That's patreon.com/WrestleTalk.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, everyone. I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
So the main show kicked off not with just random cameos or whatever, superstar shakes.
Or Shane McMahon coming down to be like, hey, what up? Providence.
Yeah, when is he getting surgery? Why was he even on this show? It could have been pre-taped, I suppose. But yeah, as you already alluded to, it kicked off right with the story. AJ Styles comes out and he's calling out Nakamura, and he says, I'm not leaving this ring until Nakamura comes out to apologise to my balls. Mm-hmm. My balls have been beaten. What are we at? I mean, maybe we should have a low blow counter.
Oh, that's a good gimmick.
So there was one at WrestleMania
for
the heel
week.
Turn, two last week, and there was one here.
Yeah,
we're at four blows.
Four ball shots.
Four ball shots, which is eight testicles injured. Eight separate testicle impacts.
I mean, I don't want to spoil because you haven't seen my SmackDown review yet because it's only just gone off to the editor. But I've renamed his finisher the Phenomenal Ball Arm.
Nice. I mean, like, it's going to, in 20 years' time, they're going to do a lot of like CTE research, but on testicles. And we're going to look back at this era of unprotected ball shots and be like, what were we thinking? Of course it's a bad idea. Anyway, there were Jolene, AJ Styles, Nakamura chants here. So it just shows how Nakamura's more over as a heel.
Yeah.
He's more over as a babyface as a heel than he was when he was as a babyface. Does that make sense?
Yeah, you more or less got there.
Yeah. So that's great to see that the crowd are invested in both. And
He said that like Nakamura has forgotten how to speak English, but he's not here for a conversation. He's here for a fight. And I thought it was a really, really nice line. But he didn't get Nakamura. Instead, he got Rusev Day. So Rusev came out and English sang a great song.
Yes.
And
I like it when he changes it up.
Yeah, it was really cool. And then he took the survey and people chanted Rusev Day. And then we got AJ Styles versus Rusev in it wasn't really a match. It was basically just an angle. Rusev got in.
30 seconds.
AJ immediately locked in the calf crusher. English ran in for the DQ. And then Brian came down to run the save. I smell a tag team match, player.
Yes, which Paige joked about in the next segment.
She stole my damn joke.
I thought when Rusev and Aiden English came out, they were so happy and Rusev was beaming a smile so broad, probably because he's back in the Undertaker match. I thought, oh, okay, superstar shakeup. They're now faces. They're on the same brand, but now they're baby faces. But then Aiden English had a line about this being a rubbish town,
mm-hmm.
and then he beat up AJ at the end. So definitely heels still.
Definitely heels still.
But, you know, if this is a heel-heavy brand, they're the first people to turn.
Mm, yeah, well, really. That's very true, yeah.
So, yes, Shane McMahon was watching all this opening segment backstage on a monitor, like a normal person, mm-hmm. actually. It wasn't positioned weirdly. And yeah, I just thought, why even show him here? Like, why do we need Shane here?
Because you need to show that there are people who are managing this show, I guess, because then...
One. Why can't I have one person?
Because sometimes that one person is Kurt Angle flubbing lines. Sometimes you need two people. Because we can't have Angle flubbing all of his lines on Raw and then Shane flubbing his lines on SmackDown. We need Paige there to save these segments.
Well, I've got nothing wrong with Paige. I'm saying take out the Shane.
I know what you're saying. But anyway, so Paige comes in and she said, we're going to have a tag team match tonight. And then they do some Teddy Long impersonations and do the Teddy Long dance. Paige walks back in. They have a bit of a quote-unquote awkward moment.
Yes.
Where she kind of catches Shane doing a dance. It wasn't particularly good. But... hey, you know, it's a fresh change.
Well, yeah, I thought the same thing. I thought I'm not going to be too hard on them because this is a new dynamic. But if they went for awkward, they got realistically awkward. Like, this was not comically awkward. Yeah. It just came off as awkward and slightly rubbish.
Yeah, pretty much. Tonight we are having a Mellabration.
Yes.
And then Shelton Benjamin came out and he was cutting a promo. Now single Shelton Benjamin because he's been split up from his tag team partner, Chad Gable. And they showed a tweet that he'd put out saying like, hey man, I wish Chad Gable all the best. And he said on Twitter last night, I said I wish Chad Gable all the best. In other news, my Twitter got hacked.
Oh, sick burn. I'm going to do that Shelton Benjamin. For the, what was that, when they roasted the Usos.
That's right, yeah, yes. I forgot all about that. And then, so he said, like, it's now time for him to shine. He could be a singles run. That's another guy in that sort of US title picture position. And he calls out for a big challenge. This is where I thought we might get either Big Cass or the Big Show. It wasn't. It was Randy Orton. Again, like, it's third segment into the show, still no superstar shakeup, like, even being mentioned. I was like, oh, wow, it's just Randy Orton. I guess we're going to have Randy Orton versus Shelton Benjamin then.
This is the way a superstar shake-up episode should be done. As fun as yesterday was, or 2 days, the Raw, Monday Night Raw, was, it's like there's nothing, there's no meat there.
Yeah, exactly.
Whereas this is a perfect balance. But Randy Orton walks out halfway down the ramp with his music playing, then stops. Then his music stops. So he stopped before he should have done. And then I'm like, well, what's going on here? And then Jeff Hardy comes out. It was a bit sloppy.
Bit sloppy. And then, but what I really did like about it was the way that Randy Orton just looked at Jeff Hardy. Mm. I'm just like, you little dick. Who do you think you are?
That was good. I thought they could have built on it more because, of course, Jeff is the US champion. Randy is the number one contender to the US title. And he's like, I thought I had an easy one with Jinder, but now I've got to face Jeff Hardy.
Last week, I did a Darth Vader-esque no at the mere thought of another Randy versus Jinder feud. And now instead I'm getting a Randy-Jeff Hardy feud. Nom nom nom. So much happier with this. Lovely stuff.
So how good is Jeff Hardy? I think we can say.
Yeah, I mean, I know you don't connect to him.
Character-wise, I don't connect with him. But from just like a... You know, when people have been around so long and accomplished so much, they just have a presence with them. It's not like a presence I'm dying to see all the time like some people, but I can definitely appreciate it. And I thought his selling was really, really good here, of the knee where he'll run into the ropes and then just sort of hobble back.
Yep.
Really, really good stuff.
Great stuff. And I mean, I don't know if this is a recent thing. I shouldn't say that because every time I say that, people tell me that it's happened for ages and I get called an idiot. Apparently Meteora is a thing. He is sticking the landing on those Swanton bombs nowadays.
Oh, no, that is not a recent thing.
He is landing. I mean, maybe it's just because he's been gone for a while, but he's been landing those suckers heavy.
No. He just does. Yeah, because before, like back in the day, he would kind of just land
on
the top
neck.
Of his neck.
That to me, when I think of the Swanton bomb, that's what I see.
This is now like a senton splash.
Just
with a flip.
So heavy on them.
No, that has been since he's returned.
It's like watching Matt Riddle wrestle.
Yeah, it's like amazing. He's just like, yeah, I'm just going to hurt you.
just going to legit finish a match.
Well,
I thought this was a really fun match.
Yes, I liked it.
Jeff Hardy got the Twist of Fate and the Swanton Bomb, and he won. Jeff has established himself as the US champion on SmackDown. Good stuff. Really enjoyed this.
Really good, really promising division going forward.
Lovely.
Like, amazing. Jeff Hardy leading the mid card. We've got Randy Orton in there. Shelton Benjamin has that name weight. You chuck an Almas in there, and it's like Almas feels bigger just by being around these guys.
And as I said last week, I really wish they'd do more with the New Day is have them also have these singles feuds. Like put a Kofi in there, put Xavier in there, put Big E in there. And all of a sudden, just like it bolsters it even further.
Mm.
It'd be great stuff. They could still be a tag team, but just also going for singles runs. Love it.
And also presumably in that mid-card kind of like main event slot is The Miz, who got a promo up next. And Monroe Sky made her WWE TV debut.
She did, bless her.
Yeah. So Miz is like saying, initially it looks like he's just standing backstage because it's like a metal panel.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that in his house?
Well, because he likes to feel at home and in his own home. And when he feels at home is when he is in a WWE locker room.
He's so WWE through and through.
Yeah.
All their TVs are positioned the wall.
Sofas have sat next to them.
Yeah. Sparsely decorated offices with pictures of WWE movies.
Yeah, with maybe a pot plant, if you're lucky, and always a robot lady in each of the rooms in case one of them needs to ask a question about like how they're feeling that day.
Yeah. Well, they do have their own reality TV show, so I'm sure that's probably actually a presence.
Mm-hmm.
So Miz there, and he cuts this promo, he's like, I'm going to beat up Daniel Bryan for saying he wants to punch me in the face. Do you want to see Daniel Bryan punch me in the face, local town? And then I'm like, yeah. And he goes, well, tough, because I'm not there. Which was like a nice reveal. And that's when he revealed that metal background was his house.
Yeah, and he said that he'll be on
SmackDown. An interior wall in his house.
He'll be on SmackDown next week because he's going to kick Daniel Bryan's ass. And then Maryse tells him off because he swore in front of the baby.
Yeah.
This is tremendous stuff.
So, this is very, very
And that's
good.
The other thing as well. We'll come on to Big Cass, I suppose, quite shortly. But we're kind of what I really enjoyed about SmackDown is they're setting up like intertwining feuds because Daniel Bryan is now currently feuding with The Miz and Big Cass. That's great. It's not like Miz and Big Cass are teaming together. They're just having like just separate feuds.
And Samoa Joe's called them all out as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you don't know where Sanity and Andrade are going to go. This is how wrestling booking should be done. And it's what works so well. A lot of people crap on him. But when Vince Russo had the book, he would just like, there'd be so many directions. Everyone would be feuding with everyone. So you could have Undertaker, The Rock, one month as your pay-per-view. And the next month you could have a different match. But then the month after that, go back to Rock versus The Undertaker, because there's still an unresolved dispute there. Whereas opposed to these days where it's just Rock Undertaker, Rock Undertaker, Rock Undertaker for 4 or 5 months, the same match, and it dries things mm-hmm. out. Speaking of, Luke Harper beat Jey Uso.
But before we got that, that's when they announced Sonya Deville and Mandy Rose have been drafted to SmackDown. But yeah, then we got Jey Uso versus Harper. Again, another short match. Harper won with the discus clothesline very, very quickly.
So I'm not bored of the Bludgeon Brothers, but now I'm at the point where I want something different. Mm-hmm. Now that they're champions...
Well, perhaps this is going to be your something different, because after the match, the Bludgeon Brothers started to beat down the Usos. They kind of threw them hither and yonder. And then just as they picked up their mallets of complete death, Naomi ran down from the back to like be in front of her husband saying, like, please, like almost pleading for their lives. And as I said in the SmackDown review, it kind of adds a level of realism that a feud in this feud between the Usos and two guys who wear masks and carry around giant mallets. And like it's just this one addition, and it gives Naomi something to do, because it's not like you can't have more than one women's storyline going on in WWE, so she can be involved in this feud here. It's not a brilliant use of her, but it adds something a bit different. It kind of, and it makes their marriage canon, I suppose, within the WWE universe, quote unquote. I think it's quite nice. There's a nice little wrinkle to the story.
Yeah, it was intriguing, but Bludgeon Brothers have been squashing people for so long. Mm-hmm. I want to, and now they're champions. I just wanted a bit more.
I get you.
And hopefully that comes soon. But the Naomi is not usually someone I associate with good acting. Like she's been pretty darn rotten, I would say, in backstage stuff before. But here she was good. Yeah, I liked her.
I think it's because Natalya just sucks the charisma out of people.
Natalya?
I think Natalya is among the worst of like the backstage acting.
Yeah.
And I think she does make people like just comparatively worse by standing next to them.
Mm. So then the camera cuts to in the ring and Sin Cara's there.
Sin Cara spotting.
And I was like, is this a trade? Where was he before? Is this a call up? I don't know.
Genuine, I don't know.
Yeah.
What brand is Kalisto on? Is he just on 205 Live? Is that his brand?
I don't know. We should. But it would be. I thought it'd be funnier if I did not look this up.
No, go. Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Just spat on you, I think.
Sorry. I didn't feel it. It's okay.
So then who's going to have a match against Sin Cara? It's bloody Samoa Joe.
Oh, yes,
and
mate.
And Joe just comes out and kills Sin Cara, chokes him out relatively quickly. I even joked yesterday. It was like, well, looks like Joe or Roman Reigns aren't getting drafted. Why do I even say those things?
Oh, man. But I'm so happy to see Joe. And then afterwards, he said that SmackDown is the land of opportunity, but really it's the land of handouts. And everyone only is here thinks they're only so good because I haven't been here. Oh, what a money line that is.
Yeah.
And he just cut this promo, and that's the way he started setting up these feuds with Daniel Bryan, Randy Orton, AJ Styles. I'm like, yes, more and more of this.
Mm-hmm.
And this is when he said that he's got the IC title match with Rollins at Greatest Royal Rumble and his feud with Roman Reigns at Backlash. Again, like intertwining storylines. Samoa Joe's got so much on his plate at the moment. I love it.
Yeah, very good stuff. And Joe's awesome. I had another point to make.
Uh-oh. Oh, dear.
It's gone. Oh, that was it. So the actual verbiage, like he said, defang Randy Orton. And emasculate.
So like, oh, yeah.
In the hands of someone else, in the voice of someone else, that would sound terrible. And, you know, like I just think of Kane going, eviscerate you, and all that language that he's forced to use. Joe's such a good promo. It's seamless and it just comes out naturally. He's got his character down perfectly.
Indeed.
What did we have next, Luke?
We had a... we were going to skip over the best thing on the show, obviously. We got the best of both brands promo.
I hope they keep playing this every week for the next 52 weeks.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah,
because
totally.
It's brilliant.
I mean, I kind of want other people to do it. It's like every month we get a new crop of stars doing this.
NXT and...
Yeah,
that'd be great. So then there was the Sanity video package, which was just Eric Young talking about chaos. Eric Young's great voice.
Yeah.
What a like timber he has to his throat.
So wonderful.
And it was a very, really, really well put together video package, grainy news footage, a few clips of Sanity, and at the end it says chaos and then arriving, and then there's a flash frame of the word Sanity as well.
I don't want to sound too negative. I try not to be too negative onto these shows. I don't think this is how I would have debuted Sanity. Mm. I would have tried to make it feel a bit more chaotic, particularly at the end when they were just like, hey, by the way, we've called up Sanity. And then they got like a graphic on screen. It's not how I would have done it. But at the same time, I'm very excited to see them on the main roster. Just kind of wish Nikki Cross was with them.
I can't argue with that. Did you see Okada's tweet about this? So WWE tweeted out, looks like chaos is coming to SmackDown Live. Chaos is, of course, the New Japan faction that Okada kind of heads up. And Okada just tweeted back, quoting that tweet, "Now we're in Japan."
Lovely stuff.
Then we got Daniel Bryan backstage telling Renee Young that he saved AJ Styles because he respects him. And one day he wants to fight him. Yes, bloody please. Mm-hmm. And then he turns around into Big Cass's big torso. Came up to about his nipple.
He's 7 foot tall. You can't teach that.
Wow.
And Brian is like 4 foot 11.
Yeah. And then the camera backs out and then looks up, and Big Cass is like, wow, so you're what all the fuss is about. What, do you just not watch wrestling for ages?
God, you see, he got you, man. He's working.
Yeah, that's what he's meant to be. Good point. And he noted Brian's height.
Yeah.
Okay. So I was going to be angry for a bit about that being brought up, but he is a heel and he has made me angry, so yeah.
But
it works, brother.
Kudos to Big Cass, I guess.
Worked, but there's brother. I would like, that's not the way I want to dislike someone. I want to dislike someone because they're wicked heels, not because
they don't watch wrestling. They don't like the same people you
not
like.
Not because it's damaging perceptions.
Okay.
So then we had the Carmella-bration.
Just a Mella-bration.
A Mella-bration, my apologies. And this was Carmella in the ring celebrating her title win. That rhymed. And it had my jacket all over the ring
post. Your jacket, we're not wearing it.
No, I did too hot.
I did spot it all around. but it's great. So she kind of talked about how she's now the SmackDown Live Women's Champion and how she did it. She did it all on her own. And she did a video package that was edited together to make it look like she won the Money in the Bank and Ellsworth wasn't involved. And then all she's done then is dominate the women's division. And then she cashed in Money in the Bank and she won. And it was, you know, it was a great video. And Carmella was great in this role. She was just like constantly laughing and be like, oh, I'm the champion. And it was, and it's great. She's a wonderful little character, and I really like Carmella in this role. I've been a bit down on Carmella for some time, and because, and that's not like anything to do with her, it's just been, they've given her nothing to do. It's just apart from running potentially cash in and then not do that, and it just made her feel a bit naff.
Yeah,
but this is great. It's a really cool presentation of her,
and she's such a good promo.
Yeah,
this was really good, and you could tell that there were bits that were scripted, but she was going off script and interacting with the crowd based on what the crowd were chanting, which, and she didn't miss a beat, mm-hmm. which is very, very tricky to do.
I actually felt that AJ did that earlier in the night as well, because I don't think they would have expected the crowds to have the dueling chants of AJ Styles and Nakamura, and then he was like, this is what I wanted. Like, this is what I'd wanted, but then he ruined this and got it right back on track. I thought it was really good.
But it reminded me of the promo after she won the Money in the Bank briefcase, and then that killer promo she delivered. And I was like, she's a great promo. Why have we forgotten this? Yeah. Why isn't she allowed to do promos more often like this?
Yeah.
But yes, then Charlotte comes out and says, look, that's not true because the Iconics helped you last week, and that chinless freak.
She mentioned James Ellsworth.
Yeah. Well, not by name.
No.
Helped you win the Money in the Bank briefcase. Then the Iconics come out and do a good fun heel promo.
I loved this so much. We mentioned it last week. My favourite kind of heels are their heels that just laugh at their own jokes, even if the jokes aren't funny. And this was amazing because Billy Kay comes out and he's just like, Charlotte, you're pathetic. This is all, you know, you're having a go at her. And then she was like, Peyton, you know what to do. And then Peyton started doing this impression of Charlotte, which is like, hi, I'm Charlotte. My diaper needs changing. I need a bottle. I need a nap. Wow, wow, wow. And then Billy Kay just laughs. So he goes like, if I close my eyes, I think Charlotte's standing next to me. Oh, I loved this.
They're really good. Charlotte has enough and then decides to beat them up. But the Iconics start to get the better of her, which they should do because there's two of them and they've just debuted and they need to look strong, unlike the Riot Squad. And so that was very good. And Becky Lynch ran down to save Charlotte, and then that turned into more brawl than ever with Carmella getting involved, and that brought out Asuka.
Well, no, it's good.
No, I got it mixed up.
You got it mixed up. It's, I initially wrote down tag match. I initially wrote down Charlotte and Becky versus the Iconics.
Yeah.
But no, it was a singles match. It was just Charlotte versus Billie Kay. Quite a slow match. Kay mostly just dominated with rest holds, crowd chanted for Y2J, and then Charlotte won with the figure eights. It wasn't particularly great. It went quite a while. And I think because Kay was losing in essentially her debut match on SmackDown Live, I think they wanted to give her a lot in ring. But it didn't really work. Like,
we've got to give them impressive stuff, not another chin lock.
Yeah, exactly. And that didn't really work. And then, yeah, afterwards, Carmella jumped in and she attacked Charlotte with the belt. And then Becky got involved because she'd come down for the save earlier.
Yes.
And then Asuka finally comes to SmackDown Live and she runs down. Zero character change for Asuka by the looks of it, which...
Yeah.
Not how I would have done it. I was actually, I was just watching. I was like, and then Asuka turns around and boots Charlotte in the face, or she turns around and boots Becky in the face. But nope, she's just still babyface Asuka.
Yeah, it's that's unfortunate. Asuka coming out as well. Like, you know, you never know how you're going to feel when you see people return after absences. And I've got to say, she did not feel special.
No, really didn't.
Which is worrying
it's a
real shame.
Yeah, it really is a shame. I mean, I said in the video last week, like, I don't want to seem down, but it does feel that WWE have gone out of their way to make this streak feel unspecial.
Yeah, it's like, I've got no problem with the streak ending,
nope.
But the follow-up hasn't been the most effective use of that, that ending. Which is a shame. And I'm just, at the end of this, I just thought... I mean, this looks like a stacked division. You've got the Iconics I'm excited about. Carmella's a cool champion. Charlotte, Becky, Asuka. That's Naomi's in there as well.
Absolution.
Well, yeah. You can forget those guys. But then I was like, but the people who are standing in front of me now in the ring, it's a three baby faces and three heels. And oh my God, am I sick of that dynamic.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what we've had
for
a year of Riot Squad versus assortment of baby faces.
Charlotte Becky
welcoming
and Naomi.
Committee versus assortment of baby faces. So hopefully they spin off into singles feuds, multiple singles feuds, and they actually give Becky something to do.
Well, yeah, I mean, we talked about this earlier. So last week there was that Becky made a joke in like a post-match interview that she just like, well, why didn't you save Charlotte? And I like to think this is just Becky like grabbing someone saying like, we need to do something here to fill in this plot hole. Why wouldn't I have gone out? And she cut this promo saying like, oh, I was eating quinoa backstage and then I heard all this commotion. And by the time I'd found out, it was too late. Still, it was really good quinoa. But it was a nice little funny thing. So she posted up a video on Twitter of her eating quinoa, hearing what had happened. And it was like, not this time, dropping the quinoa and running out to make the save. Jeez, she's too good. And they're doing nothing with her.
Like, they should almost put her on the writing staff.
Yeah.
Just to catch any plot holes in the women's division.
Yeah.
And she can make fun online stuff around it.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
But yeah, she should be featured a lot more prominently.
She certainly does.
You know when you start writing someone's name in bubble letters on a birthday card?
Mm-hmm.
You get really big.
You
like,
love this metaphor.
I do. It happens so much. And you're like, you know, well, your name's quite... Sure. Anyway, so L U K E O W E. Oh no, I'm running out of space for the N and the S.
Yep. Yep.
So you got to just squeeze it in there at the end and really get it in. That's what happened at the end of the Superstar Shake-Up episode of SmackDown. Because like after not having a shake for about three segments and then like one here, one there, a little bit over here, it was Good Brothers to SmackDown, video package of Luke Gallows and Karl Anderson.
Yep.
The Bar to SmackDown, Cesaro and Sheamus cut a promo on their phone. The New Day are backstage, they run into R-Truth, we've already talked about it. There's a bit of stuff with Ty Dillinger.
I wonder if they're setting up a tag team of Ty and Truth, because like they had their own little like hands gesture thing. Maybe they could do it as a wacky tag team that Ty's always showing up but R-Truth is never there for it because he thinks he's on a different show.
Yeah, I mean, they haven't got Breezango now, so yeah. It's something. And then Andrade Cien Almas, my apologies, with Zelina Vega in a mobile phone shot video package, promo 2. And then we got the main event of AJ Styles and Daniel Bryan versus Rusev Day.
This match wasn't as fun as you'd think it would be, because it was just the heels beating down AJ for ages. Then Bryan got the hot tag.
What a hot tag.
It was awesome.
Yeah, really, really good. Like, so not much worth talking about for the first part of the match. But yeah, Brian runs in, crazy hot tag, 3 years of energy just stored up in him.
So wonderful.
You see him shake the middle rope like Ultimate Warrior.
Or Batista.
But it was the middle rope, so maybe there is something to the height thing. Brian is so good here. I didn't even mind Rusev Day effectively being used as exhibition fodder.
Yeah.
Because that's the only reason they were in this match.
Yeah.
Even though they're super over themselves. But then as Brian is setting up, well, he hits the flying knee, the running knee. What do they call it?
They do call it something, but I can't
remember. Wizard?
No,
that's
AJ
Lee, isn't it? And they...
It's like Bazooka Knee or something.
Yeah, he hits that on Rusev, wasn't it? But then it's the bull shot, phenomenal ball arm from Nakamura, who had run through the crowd, hits AJ, leaves, like, it's because he gets the bicep.
So long in there, it's so good.
He doesn't hit with the fist, he hits with the bicep, which is...
It's like China.
Weird, like, it's closer to the face. So he hits that in. That was our 7th and 8th testicle shots.
And then Big Cass booted Daniel Bryan in the face to close off the show. And then Nakamura was on the stage and Renee Young comes out to try and interview him. And he once again says, "Sorry, I don't speak English." And Byron Slattery goes like, "Oh, what a tragedy." And Corey Graves, I'll let you have this because it made me laugh so much.
Corey had line of the night.
He certainly did.
"This is a tragedy. Can you imagine forgetting an entire language?"
Oh, I'm so into heel Corey.
Corey has been great.
Yeah.
Really seriously great. Like, WWE commentary on the main roster is not good, but Corey Graves is.
Yeah.
And he is, very thankful and grateful that Corey Graves is a thing.
And the other, I suppose, thing I would have changed about SmackDown Live, if I had the option to cut a few things out and swap a few things around and maybe change something, I wouldn't have had the backstage segment with Brian and Big Cass. I'd have had Big Cass make his return here and allow it to be this OMG surprise that Big Cass is there.
I don't think that would have worked.
Okay.
Actually, I think Big Cass, considering all the other names that came over, Big Cass isn't actually a big surprise. So it actually works better to foreshadow him earlier
in
the night.
Okay.
People aren't disappointed by the final one. So what did you give SmackDown in the end?
Like Raw, it's almost impossible to not have a fun show because you have all the surprises and NXT calls. It's like the Raw and SmackDown after Mania last week. And this was a really fun show. But as a wrestling show, it wasn't great because the matches were all very short. But everything on this show was just designed to make me excited about the future of SmackDown. So I did give it Smacktastic.
Yeah. I gave Raw a core yesterday. And that's 4 out of 5. But man, like, SmackDown was so much better. But not 5 out of 5 levels like the previous week, which I thought was exemplary. So I would give this a very, very high Smacktastic.
High. Because I went a low Smacktastic, only because, like, it is designed to make things, but as a show, I mean, the matches weren't long or anything like that. But I did...
Missing out on the wrestling.
On the wrestling, and that was really it for me. That's the only thing that kind of, like, made me go slow rather than high Smacktastic. But, yeah, man, what a show. And as I said, like, I think we are destined for a great 2018 on Team Blue. I really think we are, as long as... You've got me worried now with Jinder 2018 in the form of Big Cass. But you know what? I'm gonna go back to my earlier point. It's not Baron Corbin, and that as long as it's not Baron Corbin, then it couldn't be much worse.
I like Baron, but yeah, we'll see what happens.
We're now about 24 hours removed since we saw the single greatest promo to hype dual branded pay-per-views ever. How are you feeling about it still?
Only promo ever to hype dual branded promos.
Which makes it the single greatest.
Default, yeah. Still singing it every moment that I have of downtime. Still just trying to, like, when I walk, if I'm feeling jovial and jaunty, I'll do the little Cesaro and Sheamus walk.
Yep.
Where they walk across the screen doing a little... kind of like an Egyptian dance.
Well, it's the Breakfast Club dance, I would call it. It's the one of the iconic shots from The Breakfast Club. Interesting article, actually, by Molly Ringwald on The Breakfast Club, looking at it sort of in a post-Me Too world, which I found very fascinating. I read that on a Sunday, and it was proper, like, Sunday reading.
Yeah.
I felt like an
actual adult.
I felt like an actual adult reading that.
What did she say?
It was just talking about certain aspects of it, because, like, John Hughes could very much be looked at someone who was a very progressive filmmaker. He made he was a male man, but he made his films designed for teenage girls, which wasn't really a target for Hollywood, sort of, especially in that time. But he thought the more interesting stories to tell were ones about teenage girls and the plights that they go through, particularly in that Molly Ringwald trilogy of Breakfast Club, 16 Candles,
Home Alone,
anyway, Pretty in Pink, and Some Kind of Wonderful, you know, actually that trilogy in particular, and then The Breakfast Club.
Flubber,
you know, that's another one. More John Hughes classic stuff.
I'm just naming films. I'm like an IMDb page over here.
Yeah, that's fine. But she was talking more about, like, there's certain aspects of those films that are quite questionable, but they sort of, like, they kind of stem from his National Lampoon days in the late 70s, kind of sort of how that bled into his writing. So even though he's there writing these, you know, quite sort of progressive movies in a way, that still features, like, there is essentially unconsensual sex within The Breakfast Club, because you have that scene where Bender is under the table and he looks up Molly Ringwald's skirt, and then it's implied that he puts his face in between her legs to stimulate oral pleasure on her. And at that time, she is underage. He is, I think he's a couple of years older than her within the text. And Molly Ringwald at the time was underage. That had to be it was a stunt pair of legs and stunt panties, because she was underage to film that scene. And it's the sort of thing she wrote there, that her mother felt very uncomfortable about, that, like, she had to be on set for all the production anyway, because Molly Ringwald was underage. And her mother felt uncomfortable. It made Molly feel very uncomfortable and all this sort of stuff. She's like, there's a lot of stuff I haven't really thought about in quite some time, but sort of this Me Too thing has made me kind of reevaluate some of this. But it's a really interesting, because it's a really balanced way of looking at it. It's not just like, I'm dismissing all this work now because, you know, times have changed and we should look at it. It's a really, really well thought out piece and a really well written argument. It's fascinating stuff.
It's to try and bring it back to a wrestling thing, would it be akin to trying to watch a match from the mid 80s and saying, man, back in the day, this was really good, but now you watch it and you're like, this is slow. This is a really badly worked match. Why are they going so crazy?
You're talking more about, like, not
different
just
times.
Just different times, yeah.
Different strokes.
You know, Hogan Andre from WrestleMania 3 is thought to be one of the great WrestleMania main events, but watching it now with 2018 eyes, it is a slog to watch.
Standards change. Back in the day, humor, a lot of humor seemed to be from that kind of, I'm going to peek through a door,
yeah, Porky's
at a lady.
And all,
yeah,
that sort of stuff. Yeah, Animal House. Yeah,
yeah. I never understood that. But I don't like girls. That could just be because of that. Let's do some iTunes reviews before we get out of here.
Just before we do get out of here. Just
Luke
because it's
jumping
all,
in on my links.
Just because it's also a topical subject. Any thoughts on Glow Season 2?
Yeah, it looks really good. Can't wait for it.
Yeah, loved the first season. Cannot wait for the... I was actually not ready for the first season to end when it did. I was like, I could watch 5 more episodes of this.
I'm looking forward to see what they do with Awesome Kong's heel run. I won't say exactly what, because that could spoil the first season. But yeah, if you haven't seen it, oh my God, go out. Wrestling is popular with women. Look, if this happened, this stuff never happened when we were kids. If you are a kid or a teenager right now, count your lucky stars that this is a thing and that you can maybe approach a woman and talk to her about wrestling through Glow.
Yeah.
Yes.
It was something that, oh, it was not happening in the late 90s, mate, or the early 2000s. Sorry, did you want
to... Oh, I thought you were going to continue talking.
While you were drinking your tea.
While I was drinking my tea.
I didn't realise you were ready to down the rest of what was in your cup. I do
apologise.
I've still
got a little bit. I had to stop. Okay, so from iTunes, I think we're at Chad Rolling Thunder Gulick.
Ooh.
5-star.
Gulick, maybe.
Frog Splash rating. No, it's Gulick.
Well, that's good. That's this is full of RVD references. You've got Rolling Thunder, 5-star Frog Splash.
Ollie and Luke are the tag team champs of wrestling podcasts. Started watching Wrestle Talk on YouTube about 2 years ago, and it's my prime source for wrestling news. Would love to see the crap gimmick roster on WWE 2K18. 5-star Frog Splash rating all the way.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chad.
I mean,
that's such an American name.
It
Chad.
Really is. I mean, you could see the it on 2K18, but I wouldn't really know what to do with it because I've tried to play 2K18 and I just don't get it.
The SWAF Nation are resourceful people. I'm a little bit annoyed with them that they haven't done this for us already.
Maybe they were waiting for us to do it because they just think that you and I are so cool that we probably play video games and could do these sorts of things.
If it's not in Zelda, mate, I don't know how to create a wrestler. Hey, Vance, SWAF Nation, this is your directive. Go forth and create the crap gimmick roster. Go back in all the Wrestle Rambles and try and figure out who's in there. we certainly haven't been keeping a list. So have we got? We know we've got Fishmonger,
yep.
But he's like a proper jobber. There is Beastmaster. WrestleBot.
Oh, I forgot 3000. WrestleBot. Yeah, WrestleBot 3000. We recently just had Mikey the Mailman.
Wasn't there some form of alien that would come down
in a pod or something? Yeah.
That was good.
I can't remember what it is, though.
We'll have to go back through one day. And Ketchup Pharaoh writes, probably Backlash. Wrestle Ramble is the best wrestling podcast
My
new favourite podcast overall. Ollie and Luke give you equal parts banter, information and speculation on all things wrestling. Joined Patreon just so I could support Wrestle Talk.
Good man.
And, thank you, Ketchup.
Thank you. Sorry, I didn't realise that was the end of the review. I'm sat on the other side of the room, so I can't see where the reviews end. I'm currently looking at 3/4-length shorts on eBay.
Why?
Why?
This is why we're not allowed to sit apart, because you're doing something else.
Okay, my mind got distracted. I was talking about shorts earlier, and then I suddenly thought
you've been
about
looking at them since then.
No, I've just been looking at them now.
Well, I'm just reading iTunes reviews. So Ketchup Pharaoh brings up a good point there. Everyone should go and donate on Patreon. So you can support WrestleTalk.
I've seen a lot of people being like, hey, I can't donate on Patreon. Hey, this guy just signed up for it. He signed up just to donate.
Exactly. And are you telling me, seriously, you don't have a dollar?
A buck a month.
You don't have a dollar a month.
That was your original Patreon pitch, wasn't it? A buck a month. That's all we ask.
But then too many people went for the buck option. I was kind of hoping that would be a gateway drug to $5, but yeah. No. Well, the reason I bring that up is because Luke and I are, as soon as we finished recording this, we're going to go and record Ramble Club.
Yes, we've got
lots of wrestling.
Oh, man, alive. Do you want to hear some of the matches that we are going to talk about in Ramble Club? We're going to do a bit of teasing for people who might want to donate. I have got SoCal Uncensored versus the Hung Bucks from ROH's 16th anniversary show. Zack Sabre Jr. versus Sonata. In fact, we're going through Zack Sabre Jr.'s entire New Japan Cup run, I believe, because you've watched all of it.
Yes, fascinating.
I've only watched a few of them. Daisuke Sakamoto and Minoru Sawa versus Timothy Thatcher and Walter. Matt Riddle versus Zack Sabre Jr. Matt Riddle versus James Ellsworth. And a match that I'm so on the fence and debating. I've got an internal struggle about whether it's one of my favourite matches of the year.
Wow.
Between PCO and Walter from Joey Janela's Spring Break over WrestleMania weekend.
No way.
I've got so many conflicting thoughts about it that I will be discussing on the Ramble Club podcast.
Well, I'll be darned. Sakamoto, I'm really looking forward to hearing your thoughts on him. Because I've heard loads of good stuff, but I've never seen him wrestle.
He is... I mean, maybe I won't say anything.
I'll
hold it off for Ramble Club.
Well, we will be back on Saturday with the... Oh, God, the cup of tea caught up with me there. With news and mailbag and crap beautiful gimmicks.
We'll see you then. I love you. Goodbye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.